Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They're going through all the things that they need to see if he can get out here and, you know, get to play. We'll kind of take that by time. But, I'm just talking to Kevin Byard, who spoke to him and things like that. He's in good spirits, man. Brisk is always a dude who's so positive and high energy. And, I think if there's a chance he can be out here, he'll be out here. And, we'll kind of see how it goes. But I don't really know if we know a ton right now for certain. Just want to make sure that he's all right. And,
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the voice of TJ Edwards. He's talking about Jaquan Brisker. Talked to the midday show yesterday, and he was calling from London. That's why you hear London calling, the clash in the background. Thank you,
TJ Edwards. Yes, definitely concerned about Jaquan Brisker. They're good at strong safety without him, they're better with him. Elijah Hicks would probably step in. Jonathan Owens might get a look. Might be a rotation. But Jaquan Brisker left behind because of concussion protocol. That story will evolve and develop. We'll find out more today, maybe when the Bears meet the media here shortly in London. TJ Edwards going against Doug Peterson. I didn't realize I had forgotten. The first two seasons in the NFL, TJ Edwards played for Doug Peterson in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
As an undrafted free agent, signed with the Eagles.
Right.
Gave him an opportunity. Imagine this means something to him to be able to go against a coach who was his first NFL head coach. TJ Edwards, very underrated part of that defense. That Tremaine Edmonds makes some big hits. We talk about the secondary a lot, Montez Sweat and Javon Dexter, but TJ Edwards as steady as they come.
Yeah, no question about it. Good tackler, very good. Always at the end of the day, his statistics are pretty incredible on a regular basis. Good player. They got a lot of good players on that defense.
They got a lot of good players, which I think helps them prepare for, or if they have to, survive the loss of Jaquan Brisker for a short-term basis. If it's one game, if it's several games. The last two seasons, Jaquan Brisker has missed two games in each of those seasons because of a concussion. If he misses this week, and he's not in London as far as we know, we're not sure of his whereabouts or what the status is, but... they're prepared. I think they're not in as bad a shape. He is a guy that is obviously one of their emotional leaders. He makes some big plays, makes some big hits. I just wonder at this point of his career, does he have to change the way that he plays in order to stay available for longer periods of time? This is the third straight season where he has encountered this kind of situation. I don't know if this one was his fault necessarily or his responsibility. Tommy Tremble led with his head. But I just wonder, when players have consistent concussion issues, how does that affect their style of play?
Well, that's a really good question. I wonder if anyone has talked to him about that. I wonder if there has been any effort made to make sure that he is attempting to protect himself. It's a very difficult thing to do because, as you know, instinct takes over and you're just trying to make a play and you're not thinking about how you go about doing that. You kind of follow the way you've been doing it your whole life.
He's a rugged in the box safety. He can play against the run. He's a aggressive blitzer when they blitz. And he is a guy that is very good in pass coverage. So
yeah.
If you are going to adjust your style, you don't want to play scared. You can't play tentative. That's no way to survive. You almost increase your chance of injury. It's just maybe one of those things where it's just unfortunate that some guys become more prone to concussions. And the more that you have encountered a concussion, the more likely you are to have another one.
Yeah, that's true.
So you hope the best for Jaquan Brisker as the Bears get ready for the Jaguars. On the practice field already?
Do you expect an update on him?
I would hope so.
You would hope that would be one of the first things that Flusi says. He's speaking at 8 o'clock today. Is that right?
8 o'clock, I think, Chicago time.
Yeah.
100%. They have the podium set up already outside the Bears Hotel, as we see on X. Several people who are there covering the team. Brad Biggs, one of them. We'll catch up with Biggsy whenever he gets off the trolley.
The shuttle.
Or out of the tube.
He's not in the tube. He's in a shuttle bus going to the team hotel.
Is that where he is?
I believe so.
I like it more. I like to imagine more him either, you know, on the tube, staring down some guy reading his paper. We'll talk to Biggsy whenever he gets there. And we should get an update. This is not an insignificant player on the Bears. It's the biggest story right now in terms of uncertainty heading into Sunday's game. The Bears should win this game, and they should be able to handle a Jaguars team that has been bad this year. So bad that a week ago at this time, we were talking about Doug Peterson losing the locker room, and he was the odds-on favorite to lose his job. Robert Saleh beat him to the unemployment line, but that doesn't mean that the Bears, who knows, when you play in London, strange things happen to your football team if you lose.
Yep.
And the Jaguars, if they lose on Sunday, could the Bears be coach killers like Aaron Rodgers?
I think that if you're being fair about it, Aaron Rodgers is this is it. Like, how much time does Aaron Rodgers have left? I think that if you conclude that you're not getting enough out of, you know, to me, go get Davante Adams and we'll find out if Aaron Rodgers can play. Go make a move. You're already kind of pot committed before you fire the coach, I'm saying. I just don't quite understand the timing of this thing. As reported yesterday, if you were going to fire the guy, you should have had that done before he decided to take play calling duties away.
Yeah, as much as the Jets are jammed down our throats by the national media and talk shows, I'm not an expert on the Jets, but I don't see them from afar as a team that is one wide receiver away from becoming a Super Bowl contender. I don't think the problems have been the lack of Davante Adams. And I don't think they have pretty good receivers. They've got guys who have made plays. Now, Davante Adams is a special case, but he also is not at the stage of his career that he was when they were together in Green Bay. That would be so, and the cap implications, they aren't as bad as, say, Deshaun Watson's cap implications in Cleveland.
That's a major problem.
That's a major problem.
He has more settled lawsuits since 20. When did he go there? He has more settled lawsuits than touchdown passes.
Oh boy!
How about that?
That's quite a stat. Is that a prop bet?
I don't know if it.
A prop bet.
He's got like 18 TDs, and he's got 24 settled lawsuits as of yesterday.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. His future is probably elsewhere. If they can get rid of him, or just sit him, or just move on, if they can move on. One of the worst moves in NFL history in terms of transactions and trades. Speaking of quarterbacks, did you see yesterday where Drake May was installed as the Patriots starter?
Yes.
Giving now four rookie quarterbacks, with maybe five, because down in New Orleans, Derek Carr, oblique injury. Spencer Rattler, remember him?
Sure.
The guy that Caleb Williams couldn't beat out
right in
Oklahoma.
Well,
He could be the fifth.
We know Penix isn't going to start anytime soon.
No.
And we know that J.J. McCarthy is out injured.
He's out all season.
So Spencer Rattler, that's pretty wild if he ends up starting. Look, the thing that is so bizarre about going – I understand that you look at New England and they have a terrible offensive line. I think they're in the bottom of the league in terms of being able to defend the quarterback at all, and he's getting sacked like crazy. And the idea is that this player, Drake May, is a better athlete, so he may be able to avoid some of those sacks. And so you're going to make a move. The problem is you're playing Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And as you recall, the Bears played Houston.
They like to blitz. Earlier.
They don't. They were not a blitzing team.
They like to blitz quarterbacks who are rookies and are not ready for them.
They blitz Caleb Williams, what was it, 48% of the time?
41% of the time.
And how many times did they sack him? They hit him in that game. I don't know that it's a wise idea. Oh, you know, we got a team that's really going to come after the quarterback. Let's start the rookie. Like, what? Well, he's a better athlete. He's going to get killed. You got no real skill position players. You don't have anybody in your receiving core that scares anyone.
It felt like it was inevitable, though.
I just,
you draft him where you drafted him.
I'm not arguing. I'm just saying the game you choose to do it in seems insane to me.
Yeah, I think that they're a team that has, like the Bears, a shoddy offensive line, a young quarterback they believe in, and now they're going to give him a chance to save the day or get some experience. It's not the ideal circumstance. No, not at all. But it's another quarterback to watch and compare. There could be as many as 5 rookie quarterbacks starting Sunday. Think about that. 32 teams, 5 are led by rookie quarterbacks this season. So we'll be able to compare and contrast. And it is kind of fascinating to think that Spencer Rattler was the starter, that Caleb Williams couldn't beat out. You remember during Hard Knocks, didn't he talk about that and how that motivated him? And then he ended up beating him out. And now they're both in the NFL starting games, in all likelihood, on Sunday for their respective NFL teams.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. It's wild to see any kind of quarterback turmoil anywhere. It's just really strange. I don't know. I don't know that you can look at what's going on in this league and not think of the haves and the have-nots. And it comes down to, like, excellent quarterback play. There are guys that are getting better, and then there are guys that are seemingly getting worse. It's just if you did like a model of quarterbacks, I'd be very curious to see where you would fit some of these guys.
Well, you've got teams like the Bengals and the Rams, though, that have found their franchise quarterbacks, guys who are established,
but
veterans and accomplished, and they're off to bad starts.
Yeah.
So it sometimes takes more than just that guy, but you got to start somewhere. And in the context of the Bears, you know, they're headed in the right direction. They're in a good situation now because
where would you rank him?
In terms of
Caleb, in terms of NFL quarterbacks, is he? I mean, he's not in the top 10. He's
no,
probably not in the top 20, but he's right near there.
He's right around 20-ish.
Yeah,
20. I mean, it depends on what the question is. The question is, what quarterback ranked them in terms of guys you would want to win Sunday? Then I think he's going to fall lower in that ranking. If you're talking about guys that you would want on your roster starting for you over the next 3 years, 3 to 5 years, he's going to be much higher, much higher. Higher than some guys who are better than him right now, but might not be projected to be better than him in 3 years. So it's a complicated question, but I think that as far as the Bears go, he's better now that they have, I think, had an offensive readjustment. I was fascinated to find out what happened after the Colts game. Who got to Shane Waldron, or what was the conversation like in terms of the approach changing? Because 52 passes, actually they called 60 pass plays that day in Indy, and 4 were botched and 4 were sacks, and the other 52 were attempts. So somebody got to him because that's way too many, way too many. And it's been different since then.
Mm-hmm.
It's been more run than pass. The run pass ratio has been what you want it to be. Now, they've played teams that maybe have invited that or been conducive to that, but nonetheless.
But they're still doing that. They're in the midst of 5 consecutive games against teams with the worst pass defense in the league. So you should still find your balance, take advantage, go downfield. Like, they know now what they can do, and they can build on it, right?
Yes. Ideally, move the pocket, get him on the move, use his athleticism. He is a good, effective runner. He's not Justin Fields, but in that way, as a runner, but you don't want him to be. He's not here because of that, but he can use his legs to create and buy time. And so it's been a good balance the last couple of weeks. The offense has looked more professionalized. It's looked more like what the Bears wanted it to be originally. So they strayed from it a little bit. They paid the price, and now they're back on track, in theory. They can't go to Jacksonville and go to London to play against the Jaguars and stray from that method because it's been working.
Did you see your guy, CJ Stroud, was on with McAfee yesterday, And he said that Caleb balled last week, and I'm really happy for him.
Well, that's good of Big Brother to say that. That's good of C.J. Stroud to deem the quarterback that is 1 month younger than him.
Yeah. Look, come here. Keep
look, look come here. Here. Yeah. Look, come here. How was the post-game little exchange between – was there one between Bryce Young and Caleb Williams? Did you see that?
Yeah, he hugged him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Oh, yeah.
Hug camp caught that.
Yeah.
And then I'm sure the week before with Matthew Stafford, it was very pleasant because they Caleb Williams, one of the guys.
He got some of his game from him.
Yeah, he patterned his game, and right. He liked him a lot, and they had a nice little rapport there. C.J. Stroud, I could see why that would be a little bit of a, you know, that's going to be a nice little comparison. I don't want to say it's a rivalry. There's probably more of a chance for a rivalry, if you want to call it that, with Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams. In a couple weeks, we'll be able to dig into that a little bit more. But that is going to be the point of comparison, isn't it? More than even Justin Fields. If you're going to compare quarterback to Caleb Williams or Caleb Williams to any quarterback in the league this year, it's more likely to be Jaden Daniels than anybody.
Mm. What was your take on what we heard yesterday? If you thought about that, we talked to Mike Florio, and he told us that he felt that Jaden Daniels playing as well as he has taken a lot of pressure off of Caleb Williams, which I thought was a surprising comment because you would think that another first-round draft pick playing better than him would put more pressure on him, but I think it might be correct. I think Caleb's approach to this whole thing has also been very, very, like, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to win. I just want to win. I'll do whatever. So the Bears, now that they're winning a couple games in a row, he probably has no issue whatsoever with how well a guy that he's in competition with, in a way.
I don't think that Caleb Williams feels pressure. Yeah. Based on Jaden Daniels or Justin Fields or any other quarterback. I think he does a nice job of compartmentalizing whatever he's dealing with and being able to handle the
Well, we know he doesn't feel nerves, but
well,
what about pressure?
We've seen some anxiety, though. I think we've seen the product of some anxiety.
I'm joking.
I know. He says he's not nervous, but he has looked nervous at times. I believe that I heard that from Mike Florio. It raised an eyebrow. I don't agree with it.
Yeah.
I think that the better Jaden Daniels plays, the more pressure and the higher the expectations are for Caleb Williams, if that's or to match or be better than Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels through five games is an MVP candidate. That's the way he's being presented nationally, sure. And that's the way he's viewed. Caleb Williams is not. So I think some people want to think, why not? He's doing well. He's progressing, but he's not the best rookie quarterback in the league like we were led to believe he would be. So I don't think that creates less pressure on anybody. I think that creates more.
All right, we're going to go out to London. We're not taking a trip. We're just going to make a phone call. We're going to talk to a guy in London whenever he's available to us. How's that? That's what we're
going to do. We're going to catch up with Brad Biggs once he gets off the tube.
Biggs is, I think he was thumbing and he got a ride in a lorry.
Did he? Okay.
Is that what they call a truck?
Yes, it's a lorry. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll find out. His mode of transport. We'll get to Biggsy soon. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What do you got the rest of the day?
Man, I'm about to chill, watch movies, just try to get my mind off the game for a little bit. It's cool.
You're going to text Caleb Williams? Then you talk about... All right, okay. You're the man. Yeah. You're the man. Have you guys talked since then?
No. You know, I wish him... Like, he balled out last week. I'm happy for him, man. That's dope. Seems like he's getting his niche and his groove.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the Pat McAfee show. He was talking to C.J. Stroud, who brought up Caleb.
Yeah, he brought up Caleb. and I think he was asked about him. I think it's hilarious that they want to make that a thing. I guess they become rivals now, but I understand why that would exist. I understand why they wouldn't have texted since. That doesn't sound like they're buddies. I don't think they've ever been buddies, right?
I don't know. I don't know their relationship at all. I thought he was buddies. I would imagine he's buddies with Justin Fields because they were on the same team together.
Yeah.
But I don't
know
how
last year, I think that maybe C.J. Stroud talked about Justin Fields in a way that maybe directed a little bit of indirectly, you know, through shade at Caleb Williams, the next Bears quarterback. Not sure. It's amusing. Pat McAfee had to ask a question. It was funny. Yeah. Funny moment. Nice little rivalry. Two good young quarterbacks. Going to be maybe at the top of their profession for a very long time if everything works out.
So we are in touch with our guy, Brad Biggs. He is in London. We're going to talk to him in about 10 minutes.
Okay.
So he's ready to go, and he will be on with us in about 10 minutes.
All right. Just
he'll fill us in on
he's
everything.
Preparing. He's doing a little perusing. He's a little window shopping. What's he doing?
I think if I'm looking at this stuff correctly, it looks as if they have all the – they're in a – I don't think it's a tent. It looks like they're in a really nice room by the hotel, and they've got the Bears banner up in the background, and Ryan Poles is going to be talking directly at about
– Is it a pub?
8 o'clock or so. It's not a pub.
Is it a pub?
No. It's a very serious workplace.
Well, it's lunchtime there. You could envision being in a pub for lunch in London.
Not me.
It would not be.
I don't drink my lunch. I don't know why you're starting these
certainly
rumors.
We could see Biggsy, you know, in that setting.
I am excited, though, because there is a new Irish bar opening up relatively close to me, and I can't wait to get over there.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. Can't wait to get over there, have a couple pints, maybe take a swing at someone. Just the usual, you know, typical Mulligan lunch. What? That's not true.
Have the Jaguars arrived yet? They're not coming till later, right?
They're coming. Well, that's a very interesting question because, as you are aware, the big storm, what is the name of the new hurricane?
Milton.
Milton. So Hurricane Milton, which sounds like a pleasant enough name. It's like the guy at your workplace that lives in the basement. Milton,
nothing pleasant about this storm.
No, this is going to wipe out a large chunk of Florida. I think they've already kind of told, I believe yesterday, the mayor of Tampa told everyone to clear out. So I don't know how bad it is in Jacksonville, but they were scheduled to come out on Thursday. Maybe they come out earlier because of fears with the storm.
Well, the Bears beat them there. And that would make sense if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars. Did you see where The Athletic did a study? And in 36 games in London, 36 NFL games in London, teams arrived on the same day 17 times. But for the other 19 games that the teams staggered arrivals, the team that arrived earlier won 12 games. So teams that arrived first were 12-5. So that is in favor of the Bears.
They should have left from the game.
They should have probably just gone straight
there. They should have just gotten on the plane and flown to London.
And I think DJ Moore still would have called on time.
Yeah.
At 7:59, regardless of where he is, he's dependable. But that's telling.
That is telling. And when we talked to Mike Florio yesterday, we asked him. I had attempted to do like just a little preliminary look.
Yeah.
And it was because people go so often. At the same time, it was difficult to figure out. But if you are 12-5 is the record of teams that get there first, I would be definitely interested in getting there first.
Sorry, 19 times, team that arrived won 12 games, so 12-7.
12-7.
12-7. All right. So that's quite the
that's
trend.
Still good.
That's still very good. So 36 London games. That's a lot of London games.
Yeah.
A lot of games. But, you know, the other part of it is that the Jaguars have played there 11 times since 2013. Mm-hmm. So they are used to this in terms of not this particular team, but the organization.
13 times since 2017?
11 times since 2013. 11 times since 2013. A lot of math here.
Yeah, hold on.
A lot of math.
Let me just take off my shoes and socks.
These trends aren't insignificant, though, if you really, I really think the Bears are doing it right.
How have they done there?
I don't have that record, okay. But they're the Jaguars, so not good.
Well. Yeah,
they haven't had a good decade necessarily. Trevor Lawrence, a lot of pressure on him. You know, his second year in the league, they went to the playoffs. They were 9-8. That would be the peak of his career so far. Since then, I don't think it's been so good. He did sign the big contract. They have invested a lot of money and hope in him, but I don't think he's lived up to expectations this year.
Last man standing. Last guy from his draft class still with the same team.
That's true. That's true.
Only one to get a contract
extension. That was Justin Fields, Zach Wilson.
That's right. Trey Lance.
All of those quarterbacks went in the
first
round.
Where is Zach Wilson?
Zach Wilson's with Jacksonville.
Oh, he is? Okay.
No, I'm sorry. He's in Denver. Jones is in Jacksonville. Yeah.
Mac Jones. Okay.
Zach Wilson is Bo Nix's backup. Yeah. And Mac Jones is Trevor Lawrence's backup.
Hmm.
So these are good examples of things are never certain. And when you draft a quarterback in the first round, in a weekend, we're anticipating five rookie quarterbacks starting for their teams. Drake May and Spencer Rattler added to the list this weekend.
All right, we're going to take a quick timeout, and we'll come back with our man Big Z from London. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
The Grand Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Mully and Haw. Bigs time.
The Bigs Report with Brad Biggs.
Bigs time.
Big Z.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long-time contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Big Zay!
Good afternoon, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you know, we're
kind
of...
It's not morning here, or it's morning there.
Well, it's morning, but he's being polite to us.
Thank you, Brad.
Are just a bunch of uncivilized mopes hanging around the fine city of Chicago. Well, la-di-da, someone's having tea with the queen.
Yeah, it's we're a long ways from downtown London where the Bears are practicing, guys. But we just pulled up, and they're actually going to have a walkthrough today. But we're going to hear from the general manager, Ryan Poles, here in a little bit.
How was the trip? Set the scene. What are you looking at?
We're in the countryside. The trip was great. But we are out. The Bears are staying in the north of the city.
Right.
Significantly north of the city, probably an hour and a half ride to get here.
Wow.
This morning, this afternoon, whatever it is here now.
And is there a fox hunt or something? Why are you out in the country?
They are at a place where they've got some practice fields they can use right here. So they're not going to have to leave the grounds of the resort property to actually hold practice. But they will have to travel a distance on Sunday to get into the city to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Right.
So, Brad, in terms of the football game on Sunday in preparation for it, any clarity yet on the status of Tevin Jenkins and or Jaquan Brisker?
No, not yet. We'll hear from Matt Eberflus later this afternoon after the walkthrough. You know, Tevin Jenkins, I saw him leave the stadium, guys, after the game Sunday, and no walking boot. Looked like he was moving okay. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe we get some clarity later today. In terms of Jaquan Brisker, that would seem to be a stretch to me that he'd have a concussion and be able to fly over later in the week. I wouldn't rule it out, but that would seem to be a stretch.
Who will start in his place?
My guess is Elijah Hicks.
Yeah.
But either him or Jonathan Owens. I thought Hicks was kind of the first man up during training camp, but maybe that shifts.
So, Brad, going through traveling, getting used to, still adjusting to the time difference and the jet lag, How do you feel now that you're there and now you're getting ready to talk to the Bears and how they have adjusted and adapted after a day off a Tuesday in London? And how do you feel about the fact they're leaving early and certainly the Jaguars are not?
Yeah, I mean, I think if they were able to stay up a decent amount after they got off the plane yesterday and you get some sleep, I think they're going to be adjusted here pretty quickly. They're not having a full practice today like they would normally have on a Wednesday. It's just a walkthrough today. But then everything else the rest of the week will be business as usual for them starting tomorrow in terms of practices, meetings, all of that. So I think certainly well in advance of Sunday, the body clocks are going to be adjusted and where they need to be.
Yeah, it's being there as early as they are, I think they'll be fine with that stuff. I'm curious when you think about, and I know that Jacksonville has a doubleheader. They play this week and next week in London. Do you think that goes into their thinking in terms of as late as they're leaving? Because they were scheduled to leave on Thursday, but they may well leave now given the hurricane.
Yeah, and Jacksonville does this every year. Jacksonville played on back-to-back weeks here last season. So I think that organization, even over some regime changes the last couple of years, they've got a feel for, you know, what's worked for them, how they want to do that. They probably don't want to spend a full 2 weeks here, but yeah, the idea of getting out of Florida a little bit early is probably a good one.
Because the offensive line remains in such a state of flux, Brad, how does Ryan Bates fit into the equation whenever he's really ready to be considered for a bigger role? And is he practicing this week?
No, I'd be stunned if they started the return to practice designation for him this week, because there's a bye next week. You can't pause the clock once you start it.
Okay.
How he fits in, first of all, I would guess it's going to take at least 2 weeks of practice to get him into a position where they could consider putting him on the roster, right? Because remember back, he missed a good chunk of camp before the start of the regular season. Like, he had only practiced a couple days, played in the opener, then goes to IR. So I think it's going to take some practice time to get him back up to speed. How he fits in is going to depend on a number of things, the health of the other people involved. Tevin Jenkins, what are they going to do with the guard position? Does Bill Murray fit in? Does he get more playing time? How's Coleman Shelton, the center, playing? So there's just a lot of questions and moving parts, but I think that's something you begin to evaluate as you get a little bit closer to that Washington Commanders game at the end of the month, and perhaps beyond that, the New England game or the Arizona game.
You know, it's interesting because they do have guys coming back. You mentioned Ryan Bates because of Tevin Jenkins, the uncertainty. Do you have any idea how pleased they are with their offensive line? How many moves they might be plotting, or you know, is there a chance they could trade for someone? We've seen him make some big trades at the deadline before. Is there any idea if it's getting better and they feel good about it? You know, I thought Bill Murray played well. I don't know, though. I don't know what their thinking is.
Yeah, well, I think you feel like the line certainly played better the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Now, you've got to look at who they played. Right? A couple of defenses that are really struggling in terms of the Rams and the Panthers. And I think that's part of the evaluation. So they're going to have to balance and consider and weigh continuity versus who can make them better. And they're going to have more time on task. In terms of a move at the trade deadline, I don't see another team putting some frontline starter on the O-line out on the market. And if you're not trading for one of those guys, I don't see the benefit in trading for some guy that's a stopgap measure. They've got some good draft capital for next year. I get questions in the mailbag every week, like, what's Ryan Poles going to do with the trade deadline this year? And it's right. It's like, it's like a 13-year-old with a $20 bill in his pocket. People are just desperate to spend it as fast as they can. And I don't know that he's a buyer this year. First of all, where do they have needs? Well, yeah, the offensive line's a clear need right now, but you can't invent some player that's available if he's not there. So that it just seems unlikely to me that there's a big trade there for the O-line. I, you know, if you've got good offensive linemen, you're not trading them.
It's not related to the Bears, Brad, but what were your thoughts on Robert Saleh getting fired? And do you think that will make other teams who might be considering a change more empowered to fire their coach in season?
I don't think following the Jets' lead is something a lot of teams are interested in doing. A little surprising that it was this early, but it's the Jets, and you look at the organizations like that, the Jets, the Raiders, some of these teams, they just do things over and over again that you take a look at from a distance and you say, okay, well, that's probably a good thing to not do. Where New York goes from here, I don't know. But offensively, they've got a lot of problems currently.
Brad, when we think about the Bears in the running game, clearly Swift is playing a lot better, and they're featuring him. He seemed a little bit miffed when he came out of the game so that Roschon Johnson could go in and get a touchdown. That seems to be their short package. Is Khalil Herbert the forgotten man at this point? How are they looking at that position, and is there a hierarchy to it? And how do you handle a guy that doesn't like coming out in the short yardage?
Well, you feed him the ball in other ways, and he had 42, 44 yards on that one screen pass. He got a lot of work. He did get a goal line touchdown, Swift, that is, the one time. I think the hierarchy right now is Swift's the main guy, and Roschon is kind of short yardage and goal line, and maybe they mix him in a series here or there to get him on some base downs, and Herbert's kind of in that third spot. Some people think Herbert's got trade value. I don't think he has a lot of trade value. That's a position where teams can easily replace guys, and I'm not saying he doesn't have talent, but average running backs don't get you a whole lot on the open market, and it wouldn't make sense to deal him right now, in my opinion, because Swift goes down with a high ankle sprain, what are you going to do then? Now you're down to Roschon and who? So they've got a good situation right now. They're running the ball more effectively. They're getting production from multiple guys, and we've seen how that's benefited the offense as a whole. Should continue to help the play-action passing game. It's coming around for them. They need to keep doing it, and they need to be able to have production against some better defenses as they encounter him. Jacksonville comes in, I think, with the 8th-ranked run defense in the league. So the Jaguars have played the run well. Jacksonville's had a lot of trouble stopping the passing game.
Quickly, Brad, who are we going to hear from today? What's on your agenda?
Ryan Poles is going to speak today, so we'll hear from him, which is something he doesn't do a whole lot in season. Kevin Warren is going to have a chat, and then following the walkthrough, Caleb Williams, Matt Eberflus, and I think they'll probably make a couple other players available. Nice. And then tomorrow they'll have the coordinators chatting, I think offensive position coaches. So really a normal week. You're just in the English countryside.
Cheerio, Bigsy.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Have a great day. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs. He is the football man of the Chicago Tribune. It's fun.
He's locked in. He's ready to go.
Yeah, he's ready to go.
You can tell he's locked in.
He's covering football.
You can tell
he's not happy about driving an hour and a half to go cover football.
Outside in the countryside.
Right, right. But
beautiful English countryside, but not for Biggsy.
No. It's nice. They're staying at a facility that has all the practice stuff and all that. They don't have to leave. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to know where they're at. I also am very curious. That Spurs Stadium is supposed to be absolutely state-of-the-art. It's beautiful. So that'll be good. It'll be good to see on Sunday. And then I think the other game that the Jags play is at Wembley.
Wembley,
right?
Yeah. Next week they play at Wembley.
Okay. All right, great stuff. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.